I'm glad you've decided to be with me today, and thank you for your time, and also for your attention to the Bible. Do you want to know who God is? Well, look no further than the very Word of God to your mind, heart, and soul. And I invite you to turn with me once again to Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 through 17. Let me read this for us as we begin. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. That right there, my friends, is the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is described in Romans 1, verses 16 through 17. And the gospel is what God uses to make us holy. Four key words are essential to our understanding of the gospel. The first word is power. We've discussed that. The second word is salvation. We dive in on that word today. The third word is faith, and the fourth word is righteousness. Power, salvation, faith, and righteousness. These are our big words. Keep them up on the screen of your mind. We'll just keep coming back to them. And next up for us is the word salvation. It's right there in verse 16. Let me read it again. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. And as we begin to work away at this word, let me ask you a question. Are you a person who prefers the good news first or the bad news first? Let's say your spouse comes home tonight and says to you, I have good news and I have bad news. Which do you want to hear first? Or your boss calls you into her office tomorrow. Well, I have some good news for you, but also some bad news. Where do I start? Which do you choose? Some of you prefer to hear the bad news up front and get it out of the way, figuring that the good news to follow will cheer you up. And yet others of you prefer good news first to give you a sense of assurance as you brace for the bad news. Well, here anyway, the Apostle Paul tells the Roman Christians the good news first, and then he follows it with the bad news. The gospel, which we're studying in verses 16 through 17, is the good news, and it precedes the very bad news of Romans 1 verse 18. Paul gives the good news, then the bad news. This makes some of you very happy because it's the way you like to receive your news, too. But this order creates a problem for the teacher and preacher of God's word in the culture in which we live today. As I teach this in the 21st century, I have to switch the order. My dilemma arises from this. Most people today do not believe there is any bad news, and therefore they either do not want to hear about the good news because they do not need it, or they are willing to at least hear it, but find that upon hearing it, the good news does not apply to them. Until you understand the bad news of Romans 1 verse 18, you will not eagerly receive, and you certainly will not believe, the good news of verses 16 through 17. Let me show you what I mean by reversing the order. I'm going to drop down to verse 18 of Romans chapter 1 and give you the bad news first. Then I will come back to the good news in verse 16. And at the end of the broadcast yesterday, I asked you to read verses 16 to 32 in advance, which I'm certain many of you have done, and so now my teaching will make more sense to you since you have already read it. I'm reading now Romans chapter 1 in just the first part of verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed. I'll pause here. There is more to verse 18, but I will not read that yet. That right there is the bad news. Get this on your mind. The bad news is the wrath of God. And now go back to verse 16 for the good news. The good news is that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. So the bad news is the wrath of God. And what is the good news? The good news is being delivered and rescued from the wrath of God. Remember, the good news is the gospel. In Greek, the word gospel means good news. And the good news, the gospel, is being delivered and rescued from the bad news, the wrath of God. And please notice that both come from God. Both are of God. Bad news, wrath of God. Good news, the power of God for salvation. What does this mean? It means God provides his good news to rescue you from his bad news. I repeat, and make sure you understand this, God provides his good news to rescue you from his bad news. The far better good news, bad news analogy is not to your spouse or boss telling you they have good news and bad news, but rather your medical doctor saying so. Let's say that you have been feeling just awful, and you had some tests done on your physical body and you're awaiting the results when the doctor's office calls to say the doctor wants to see you in his office. You make the appointment and apprehensively attend. He comes in, sits down, and says, "Well, I have some good news and some bad news, but I'll start with the bad news. The bad news is you have a very bad cancer. You've been dying from this. That's why you feel so sick. You are dying from this. I've seen the cancer all throughout your body. And unless something drastic is done to save you, you will die from this. The cancer will be your cause of death." He pauses and looks down as a tremor of fear slices through your whole being. You are stunned, but your mind also begins to race as your whole life flashes before your eyes. The doctor speaks up. "As I said, there is good news. Actually, it's rather great news." You look up out of your shock and you cannot believe that there could be anything positive after what he's just told you. But he continues, "I have the cure. You can be delivered of this wretched disease. Your life can be rescued and preserved. I want your permission to start the treatment that will cure you of this disease right away, even today, immediately. Do I have your permission to do so? Will you accept the treatment?" Well, you are now on a complete roller coaster of emotion. You shoot from the lowest of lows to the highest of highs in a moment. The bad news was really, really bad. But the good news far outweighs the bad news. This is poor English, but you say to the doctor, "The good was gooder than the bad was badder. And yes, doctor, please deliver me from this illness now, immediately. Give me the cure starting today." You see, when I use the word salvation, it does not make much sense unless I first answer the question, salvation from what? What am I being saved from? In the analogy I just used, the patient is being saved from cancer. It's easy to see how the cure was salvation for the sufferer. But when we talk about salvation in the Bible, in the spiritual sense of salvation, when we discuss deliverance and rescue from the fatal disease of sin, it's hard for people to see how the cure for the soul is even necessary, because it appears to men and women that their soul is in fine shape. They are not sinners. Why fix what isn't broken? They're not in need of any salvation from God. They're okay. They are well. They feel fine. Actually, they feel great. Sin feels awesome. But that is obviously not so. Look at this world in which you and I live. More pointedly, give an honest evaluation of your own life. Do you not think there is at least not some aspect of your life that needs saving? What I want to invite you to do is to consider this seriously with me in the coming days. If you listen to me talk about the cure for sin and you say, "I still don't believe that I'm a sinner in need of salvation," then that will be a decision that you have made based on the facts of the Bible and based on the facts of who God is. You will have the facts and then make your decision. But if you hear me out and then say, "Yes, I am indeed a sinner, and I am in desperate need of a cure," and you're telling me that God himself provides the cure? Well then, tell me what it is, and I shall welcome the treatment. I want to begin my treatment today, immediately, now. If you feel this way, then I promise you this right here and right now. This will have proven to be the best days of your life now, on earth, and in your life to come in heaven. And so, with that very important introduction having been made, here's what I'm going to do. Let me lay out for you the plan from here so that you know where I am going. And please do invite others to join you for the upcoming broadcast of God Is. Invite someone who does not think they need the gospel cure. Invite someone whose life is falling apart due to the effects of sin. Ask them to tune into the broadcast or podcast with you to receive the good news. Is there someone that God has put on your heart and mind to receive the good news? Why not invite them to listen along with you, and then the two of you can discuss it together. So starting today, I'm going to first define for you the word salvation in Romans 1 and verse 16. And then second, tomorrow, I'm going to define for you the wrath of God in Romans 1 and verse 18. And then third, probably on Thursday, I'll take us back to verse 16 to show you the impact that the power of God for salvation has in your life if you already are a Christian, or can have in your life if you are still not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me start by telling you what this word salvation means in the original language of the New Testament. The Greek word is soteria, soteria, and its primary meaning is deliverance and rescue. The Apostle Paul uses the word in various forms throughout Romans, as we will see. And by it he means God delivers people from their sin. God rescues people from their sin. The emphasis is on deliverance and rescue. And every one of us require this deliverance and rescue, because every one of us, myself, first and foremost among you, are sinners. God is holy, but we are not holy. And so how is it that we can be made holy? It's by the salvation of God for us. When God delivers us from sin, when God rescues us from sin, then we are holy ones. We are saints, as we have discussed previously. Until then, we have the cancer of the soul, sin, and we're dead in our sins. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians, they were dead in their sins. And you and I are dead too, until God saves us and gives us the great and wonderful gift of eternal life. My friend, please come back tomorrow. I will be here at the same time, right here on 590 AM WEZE, The Word. And I look forward to telling you more about the single greatest message that you will ever hear. The message that I want to continue to share with you in these days is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is good news. So please invite a friend, invite a family member, someone that you really care about, someone who needs to hear the good news for the first time or hear the good news again. Invite them to join you tomorrow, for God is...